But right now, it's time to check the facts. And it's a matter of fact with Africa Check. We're going to be talking about the demand for land in South Africa. Kate Wilkinson is a senior researcher at Africa Check. Good afternoon, Kate. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Tell us about Africa Check. For those who are listening to us for the first time, they're saying, Africa Check? What's that all about?
Yeah, so Africa Check is a fact-checking organization. And the next question is, well, what is a fact-checking organization?
Yeah.
Fact-checking has always been an important part of journalism. It's
right.
Meant to be the bedrock of what journalists do in reporting the news. But we know that in recent years, especially with the 24-hour news cycle, with newsrooms getting smaller, that often fact-checking sometimes falls by the wayside.
And of course, with fake news being out there, Facebook, there's so many fake news stories, even still to this day, despite the efforts that Facebook is trying to make to kind of stop fake news from spreading, it's still out there. But how do we know that the facts that you're checking are correct?
Good question. So what we do and what organizations like us do all around the world is we fact check claims in the public domain. So if someone in the public makes a claim, puts out a statistic, it will get flagged to us either by our readers or we keep an eye on the news and then we fact check that information. And we have a standardized process that we follow when we fact check any claim. So it starts with contacting the source, asking them for the information, comparing that information to the best available information, then speaking to experts to get comment and analysis. But most importantly, we never ask people to trust us because all the information that is in the work that we do in our fact checks, it's all hyperlinked. We provide all our sources. So you can read our fact check. If you think we've got it right, then you can leave it there. But if you think we've missed something, if you want to understand some of the data that we're looking at, you can interrogate it yourself. And if you think we've still missed something, you can get in touch with us and we'll have a look at it again.
Who decides what facts do you check?
So we have an editorial process. So like I said, we have great listeners on 702 and great readers across the continent who see and hear things and they suggest them to us.
Okay.
They do that on Twitter and on Facebook or by emailing us. But then we also have, as part of our editorial process, we monitor press releases, speeches. We look at politicians tweeting. And then when it comes to deciding, we look at, is this important to check? Could this information, if it's wrong, have quite a serious consequence? How is it being used to inform debate? And then we make a decision there about what we check. And then we also make sure to always check both sides of the argument.
Interesting.
So if we have two different political parties who are quite polarized on the topic, if we fact check one, we'll try within the coming weeks or months to fact check an opposing claim from the other party so that we can look at both sides of the argument.
Yeah, it's quite ironical that we're living in a technological world that you think that technology has shed a light on things being more transparent. Yet we have more fake news than we've had before, and it spreads a lot faster. I think technology helps, the falseness of a story spread a lot faster. If you go back, say, 40, 50 years, you'd have a reporter sitting in the middle of nowhere typing something out. It would be published in a newspaper and people would read it and take it as fact. Today, technology has shed quite a bit of light, has made things more transparent, but yet at the same time, the double-edged sword is that it also is involved in spreading things a lot faster, even if they're false.
Absolutely. And I think there are two points. The first is that we, whether we're journalists talking to each other or we're members of the public listening to this, we are part of that process. We mustn't think ourselves as separate. We mustn't look at it as though it's something that we're not involved in. When we retweet, when we share, when we spread information, even on WhatsApp without verifying it, we are responsible in part for that information and how it is shared. But secondly, I think fact-checking can be reactive and it can be proactive. So we could fact-check a claim that someone has said. Maybe recently we fact-checked a claim that 57% of South African children grow up without their fathers. And we can find that that was incorrect and then we put the report out. But like you said, that information has already traveled so far and we'll never really catch up to correct everyone who thinks they could be true. But today what we're going to be looking at is almost proactive fact-checking. We've seen there's a very topical issue, and that is land in South Africa
and
demand for land in South Africa. So we've gathered all the research on demand for land since 1994 in South Africa, and we've put it into a fact sheet, and we hope that this will inform debate going forward.
Okay, so we're going to talk about land specifically today, and I see that the national spokesman of the economic freedom fighters, Dr. Mboweni Ndlozi, recently questioned former Business Day editor Peter Bruce on live television about this specific topic. Just give us, tell us about that that particular comment that he made.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was, the roles were reversed somewhat on TV, and Mbuyiseni was interviewing Peter Bruce. And in particular, he took Peter to task about a claim that he had made in a column. And Mbuyiseni said that Bruce had said that only a tiny minority of black people actually want to farm. And of course, this is in the larger picture of the issue.
This is what Bruce, what he alleges Bruce said.
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, this is in the, you know, the bigger picture of expropriation, of land reform, and, you know, the reasons for land reform. And he asked Peter Bruce, you know, what is the source for that statistic? How do you know that? And we love that question at Africa Check, because that's the question we ask all the time. But Peter Bruce said that he didn't have a source, but that he could back it up with his experience. And we actually went to look at what Peter Bruce had actually written, and Mbuyiseni did misquote him. Peter had in fact written that only a tiny fraction of our population wants to farm. And so we thought, you know, that there's some contention about what share of the population, whether we're talking about black people or the whole population, want to farm. And there's a little bit of confusion about if there is information out there. So we looked at all the research that's been done, and we broke it down and presented it in this fact sheet.
Okay. And what are the interesting points that have come out from your research?
Yeah, so I think what's interesting is that we can go all the way back. In fact, in 1994 and 1995, there was a study that was done by the Land and Agricultural Policy Center. And what they found was that 67.7% of South African black rural households wanted farmland. And when it comes to studies and research like this, we might think, oh, well, this is a good baseline. You know, we're looking back to the beginning of South Africa's democracy. We have a good figure. But it's also important that we need to understand what the research can and can't tell us. And in this context, if you actually look at the report and the subsequent discussion about it, there's a little bit of caution that needs to be taken with this number. The first is that farming was never defined. And we know, as we've been watching the debate around farming and expropriation, that there are many different ideas and conceptions about what farming actually means. Are we talking about large-scale commercial farming? Are we talking about smallholding? And this survey didn't define it, so it's difficult to know exactly what people meant. And then, most importantly, unfortunately, the survey wasn't nationally representative. They did survey over 2,000 people, but they weren't selected in a way, which means that these results are representative of the population as a whole at that time.
Interesting. So with the facts that come out from Africa Check, it's just basically a guideline. You're shedding light on something that people are questioning, that they're unsure of, and you're shedding light with providing facts to a specific story. But sometimes stories are quite emotive. I mean, the land issue is a very emotive story. And I mean, you and I are both white. We can't kind of relate to the claims that land has been stolen and people have been, you know, kicked off their land and farmers have come in and taken over. So I guess that you need to also, you know, remove the emotion out of it, because if that had happened to me, I'd be a very angry person right now, right? Mm. So how do you distinguish between the two and the facts and everything? Because it's a very emotive story.
I think that's a really interesting and important point to make, because whether we're talking about land, or another example that is also a very emotional topic, in that being farm murders, there is sometimes a lot of conflict or interplay between the facts and then people's lived experiences and their emotions
exactly.
and history and how those interplay. And for example, when it comes to fact-checking or looking at the percentage of South Africans that want land, we can't fact check whether land reform is right or wrong.
Yes.
We can't fact check whether, you know, people feel that there has been a historical injustice, or we can't fact check people's feelings.
Yes.
Because those aren't based on facts and numbers. They're an experience, and you can have a certain feeling, someone else can have a certain feeling, and we can't tell you whether that is right or wrong. But what we can do, and we can maybe just reference some of the most more recent information, which is probably a bit more useful, is that we can provide the best and most accurate information so that if people want to make arguments and cite data, maybe on top of their experiences and right. their emotions, that they're using accurate data. Because ultimately, this does inform debate. And whether you're advocating for land reform or you're advocating for better school infrastructure or you're advocating for policies against sexual violence, if you don't have your numbers right, it's the easiest point for someone to attack your argument.
Yes, yes.
So we just want to make sure people have got their numbers right, they're sharing accurate information, because ultimately, this information does inform policy. It informs what government does, it informs how we perceive people, and if we can make it easier for people to get it right, then that's what we'll do.
I would imagine that as we lead up to our next election next year, it's going to be a very busy time for you guys at Africa Check, because you know certainly it's one of the most important elections we will ever host in our country. It's going to redefine a lot of things, and I would imagine that it's going to be a very busy time. It's going to be something that you're going to be focusing quite strongly on.
Absolutely. So in over the last 5 or 6 years, we've done a national election, we've done a municipal election just in South Africa alone.
Oh, okay.
We're based also in Nigeria, Kenya and Senegal, so we've also done election fact checking there. So yeah, the next year is going to be very busy for us. And also, we've also recently launched a promise tracker. So if members of the public and listeners hear politicians making promises and commitments in the lead up to the election, they can log them on our website. And if that party comes to power, we will then track those promises and we'll follow up and see whether the promises which were made, you know, promising people certain service delivery or certain outcomes if they won the election, we're actually going to follow those and see if they've been kept or broken.
Now, you only focus on Africa, right? But internationally, there's so many interesting stories. Is there an organization that's similar to Africa Check abroad that does similar work to what you guys do? I would imagine there must be several.
Oh, absolutely. And just last month, we were actually, some of my colleagues were in Rome for the International Fact Checking Conference. We have one every year with hundreds of people from around the world in Africa, North and South America, Europe and Australia. People that do what we do, they look at topical and important issues in their countries and they check the facts and see where the truth lies when it comes to those issues.
So give us your website, please. And we've got a question as well on the line, and just to give us the website and how do people engage with Africa Check, for example, if I want you guys to follow up on a specific fact and get it checked, how do I get that onto your radar and how do I get in touch with you?
Cool. So the easiest thing to probably do is to visit our website. That's africacheck.org and you can see our reports there and you can also submit a claim to be checked there. But if you're on Twitter or Facebook, you can find us at Africa Check and you can tweet us the claim. It's always good if you can send us a link. If you've heard a politician say something or you've read a quote, tweet us, let us know exactly what you want checked, send us a link so we can follow it up, and then we'll have our editorial meeting and decide what to check. And more often than not, we do actually fact check most of the reader submissions that we get.
Who funds you, Jackie wants to know?
We have a lot of funders, so that information is also available on our website. We are a non-profit organization, so we get money from organizations like the Open Society Foundation, the Shuttleworth Foundation, Omedia. We've been funded by large corporates like Standard Bank, but also increasingly we're encouraging just members of the public who support fact-checking, who support accuracy and advancing good quality information in Africa, to support us on an individual basis, that can be as little as R50 a month, and that money will go straight to holding public figures accountable for what they say, and making sure that policy and decision making on the continent is based on evidence rather than myth and misconception.
What about people that accuse you of having an agenda, saying, "Well, you guys are just focusing on this and you're focusing on that. You have an agenda. There's something behind your checking of the facts."
So we actually get accused of that a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, we do. So there are quite a few people and groups who, because we are funded by the Open Society Foundation, think that we are controlled by George Soros and that he is our puppet master and he pulls the string at South Africa Check. But I can only assure listeners and readers, as much as people want to investigate the matter themselves, we are an independent organization. I think that the quality of our work speaks for ourselves. Our funders have absolutely no involvement in who we check, what we check, when we check it. And we rarely really invite scrutiny. We are members of the International Fact-Checking Network, which means that we are signatories to their principles. And if anyone feels that our work is biased, if anyone thinks there is an agenda, they can refer us or a specific report to that network, and it will be reviewed, and the outcome of that will be public. And we want to engage with people. If you have concerns, tweet us, and we will talk you through it. You know, we'll invite you to our office. You can come see whether George is hiding in the cupboard. And we really, we're open about our work, and we want people to hold us accountable for what we do.
Give us that website address again, please.
So that's africacheck.org.
No, just like that?
Just like that.
africacheck.org, and you'll find the Twitter handle and all of that stuff. So it's all over
there. It's all over there. We're also, like I said, at Twitter, at africacheck. And yeah, if you see something that you want fact-checked, let us know. If you have questions, send them to us. We always have someone online to address any questions or concerns.
Okay. And tell me, what is it that you're working on after the demand for land topic? Is there another big one that's on the radar at the moment?
Yeah, so we're looking at a few things. So we're looking at the breakdown, especially with the discussion about NHI and the difference between the public healthcare system and the private healthcare system.
Oh, okay.
We're looking at the ratio of doctors to patients in both of those systems. We're also looking at deaths when it comes to flu in South Africa, as well as internationally, you know, where does South Africa rate when it comes to the frequency of cybercrime attacks? So some interesting things. We're going to be looking at more land stuff as well. It can be tricky to unpack. But if you or the listeners think there's something we should be looking at, we'd love to hear it.
Good stuff. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio. That's Kate Wilkinson, Senior Researcher at Africa Check, and it's africacheck.org. If you want to engage with them about any questions that you need to have answered, please do so. They've got some fantastic researchers there, and uncovering the truth is what they do, and checking the facts, making sure that the facts are right. And, you know, I certainly became quite educated just visiting the website and get the different stuff that they're researching. There's a couple of things that I discovered that I didn't know myself. So keep up the great work you guys are doing. Thank you very much, Kate.